Welcome back to our series, How Sweet the Sound. In this series, we've been looking at some of the well-known, beloved, classic hymns of the church. But in this series, we've been learning the story behind the writing of that song. And even more importantly, we're dealing with the theology that comes through that song so we could learn. I want to thank the Open Network, who has provided the opening video graphic that you saw and given us some seed thoughts about how we can develop and build this series out. Hymns. When I grew up in church, believe it or not, we sang from hymn books or hymnals. I remember it so vividly. Most of my childhood was all hymns. We did not have the beauty of projection screens and lyrics on the front of the auditorium. We had to follow along in a book, and a worship leader would get up and call out a hymn number, and we would sing those songs. And my friends and I got to know some of the songs. We always sang by their number, not by their title. That's how often we'd sing them. But the thing about hymns is it gave us an opportunity to study and look at the theology that was coming out of it. And so some of our classic hymns have some really good theology, and that's what we want to do again today. There was a song that we sang growing up in church that spoke to us about the hope for eternity and the urgency for today. And it's a hymn called "I'll Fly Away." It was written by a man named Albert Brumley, who was born in 1905 in Spiro, Oklahoma. Albert grew up in a very, very impoverished family. As a little child, in order to help pay the bills, he would work alongside his siblings and his parents on their farm picking cotton. He did this just so he'd have a way of contributing to the family. When Albert was 5 years old, his brother died of typhoid fever. And so he was very aware of grief and poverty. He wrote the lyrics to the song while he was in college, but he says they were actually born in his heart when he was hurting as a young child. You see, he was longing not for the blessings of this earth, but he was longing for the glory of heaven. And so Albert Brumley wrote these kind of lyrics to his song. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. To a home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. See, if there's one part of our faith, I believe, that can give us a hope for eternity and an urgency for today, it's understanding the return of Jesus, that when this life is over, I'll fly away. This morning, I want to turn our attention to words that the Apostle Paul wrote, and they're recorded for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. And Paul wrote these words. He said, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangels and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." These verses talk to us about the return of Jesus. The return of Christ is the hope for eternity and the urgency for today. Now, I realize that this could be a very unique or unusual topic. Maybe you're listening and watching today and you've never heard anybody teach on this topic, or you're finding it a little bit uncomfortable or a little bit unusual. I'm asking you to just hang on. Hang on till the end and see how God brings this about for his glory and for our good. See, the Bible contains a lot of what we call prophecy. And prophecy is simply as a prediction of something that is to come. I want to remind you that the Bible is not just one book, but it's a collection of books. There are 66 books in the Bible broken up into an Old and New Testament, 40 different authors. The writing of the Bible, the original manuscripts, were written over a period of 1,500 years. And that's what is so amazing about the Bible. The Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he is strung from end to end, from Genesis to Revelation, from beginning to the end. The story, the thread of Jesus is woven through every book, every writer, through all those years. Out of the 66 books of the Bible, the scholars tell us only 4 books do not contain anything about prophecy. These scholars also tell us that between 20 and 30% of the Bible talks about prophecy. And a good portion of the prophecy that the Bible speaks about has already come to pass. And that is great news, because it proves to us that if the Bible is correct on everything that transpired in the past, it has to be correct about what it says regarding the future. For example, in the Old Testament, there are many, many, many prophecies written about Jesus. They are written by different authors in a span of hundreds of years, actually written hundreds of years before Jesus was born, before he had his life, his death, and his resurrection. So to show you and prove to you about prophecy, let me just share with you some of these things that the Bible prophesied about Jesus hundreds of years before he was even born, just to show you how accurate God is. It was prophesied of Jesus that he would be born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem. He would come from the line of Abraham, and he would begin his ministry in Galilee, that he would teach in parables. Isn't that amazing? It was prophesied he would teach in parables, which he often did, and he would have a miraculous ministry. He would come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. He would be rejected by men, and he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. How accurate is that? He's falsely accused. It was prophesied that Jesus would be silent before his accusers. He would be crucified beside criminals. He would be given vinegar to drink, that his hands and feet would be pierced, but none of his bones would be broken. Those are two different prophecies. That they would fight and gamble over his garments. That after giving his life, that he would be buried in a borrowed rich man's tomb, that he would rise from the dead and return, ascend to heaven. All of these things that were prophesied about Jesus came to pass in his first coming. And again, it's encouraging here that the Bible is able to clearly prophesy and articulate what would happen to Jesus hundreds of years before he was ever born. If the Bible is correct about that, it must be correct about the other things. So the Bible also tells us about the return of Christ. God tells us this so we could understand that this is our hope for eternity and the urgency for today. There are 3 things that this hope of eternity, the hope that we have as Jesus followers. I want you to see it in 3 simple phrases I've got for you. And the 3 phrases are this, and then I'll unpack them for you. The return, the rapture, and the reunion. See, the return, that's Jesus Christ is coming again. When Jesus came the first time, and his story is recorded in the gospel accounts, the first 4 books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, really tell the story of Jesus' life and ministry. And Jesus said these words himself in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. He said this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." I will come back and take you to be with me. Jesus said he's coming back again. The Apostle Paul wrote about it to the early church. He described it in the text we read. That first verse of the text, verse 16, said this: "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Did you catch what we're told here? That Jesus will shout, the trumpet will sound, and those who are dead, believing in Jesus when they died, would be raised to life again. Now, if you've never heard that before, wait, don't turn me off yet. Hear me out. This is the hope of eternity and the urgency for today. We have the promise of Jesus that he is coming back for those who follow him, those who have decided to believe in him as their Savior, those who live according to his teachings. This is the hope for eternity. The hope is that this world is not the end, that death is not the final chapter, that we have the promise of an eternity with God, and God is going to resurrect those believers in the final day. This is the hope of eternity, that those who have died with faith in Jesus did not die in vain. They did not die without hope of the promise. They died in faith, believing that Jesus is who he said he was, and Jesus meant everything that he said. And their faith enables them to resurrect at the trumpet call of God. This is the hope of eternity, that we and our loved ones who die in Christ have the hope of an eternity together. Our hope is for the return of Jesus, and Jesus is coming again. Then in our text, verse 17, Paul said this: "After that," after those who have died and resurrected, "after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." The second thing that I want to talk to you is what we call the rapture, where living Christians will be taken to be with Jesus. What's described here in verse 17 is what the theologians call the rapture. And the rapture is not a word you're going to find in the Bible. So let me explain very briefly to you that the word rapture comes out of what we read in that verse, the words caught up. As you may or may not know, the New Testament was originally written in Greek. And our word caught up in English comes from the Greek word harpazo. Harpazo means to snatch away, to seize. And so before the Bible was translated from Greek to English, it was actually translated from Greek to Latin. And that word harpazo in Latin was changed to the word raptus. And that's where the name came from, the rapture, the caught up, the snatched, the seized. And so theologians over time have called this teaching of the Bible the rapture. It's where living Christians are taken away to be with Jesus for eternity. Paul writes more about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 51. Paul says these words: "But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed." So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. This event, the rapture, will be so sudden that Paul describes it as happening in the blinking of an eye. And Paul tells us to be strong and immovable. We are to work enthusiastically for the Lord. This is the urgency for today. that everything we do today, everything we do in this life has an impact on our eternity. We need to live today with eternity in mind. Everything that you do for the Lord counts. And so I am asking you today, let your life count for your eternity. Jesus encouraged us to live every moment of our lives for God and to be ready for Jesus' return. Because when Jesus comes, he's coming for his followers. Don't put off following Jesus. Start following him today if you've never followed him yet. Jesus himself talked about this, and it's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. Jesus said, "About that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." You need to be ready. This is the urgency for today. You never know when. It could be at any moment, at any time, and it will be sudden. At any moment, the trumpet of God could sound, and Jesus will snatch away all those who have been following him, living by his word, who have bowed their hearts to him as the living Savior. That is why you need to always be ready. That's why you need to be a true disciple of Jesus. Eternity can start at any moment. This, again, is the hope for eternity and the urgency for today. We need to live today like our eternity can start right now. If you've never been to church or you've never paid attention to what the Bible says, I know that what I'm sharing with you today, what I'm teaching you, could sound far-fetched. Is it a sci-fi thing, or is it something Marvel created? It's not. It's what the Bible tells us. And the Bible has been accurate, has been proven to be accurate about what it said about Jesus hundreds of years before he was born. And we know that the Bible is accurate about telling us that Jesus is coming back again. Now, it's not that unusual. The Bible prepares us because it gives us three examples over time where this snatching away has happened suddenly and without warning. It's not quite the same thing. It's almost like a picture of a foreshadow of what's going to be. In the Old Testament, there's a man named Enoch, and the Bible says he loved God and he walked close with God. And one day he went for a walk and he never came back. The Bible says God took him up to heaven. Another man is Elijah, a great prophet of God in the Old Testament, and God used him mightily. And God had told him he wasn't going to die, but he was going to go up to heaven. And one day, as he was talking to the young man he was mentoring, chariots of fire came, and a whirlwind took him up to heaven. Then, of course, we have Jesus. After his death and resurrection, he was talking with his disciples, and as he was giving them their final instructions, he was taken up in the clouds to heaven. These are the examples we have. And that leads us to the reunion. The reunion means that all Christians will be with God forever, eternity. All those who have become Jesus followers, those who have lived their lives by what Jesus says, you know those red letters that we talked about in the fall if you were with us? All believers will be with God forever for eternity. And our text talked about that again in verses 17 and 18. Remember, it says this: "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." The hymn writer wrote it this way: "Just a few more weary days and then all fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, all fly away." Notice what Paul says. He tells us to encourage one another with these words. Why does Paul tell us that? because we need to understand that God means this message as a message of hope and encouragement, as a reminder that everything in this world is temporary and there is a hope for eternity. See, if you are hurting today, if you're grieving today, if you have lost something of great value, if maybe you're afraid of the future, or maybe you feel lost or alone, maybe you're carrying heavy burdens that have weighed you down way too much, if you're in pain because of this world, there is encouragement for you that if you are in Christ, there will be a day where you will have reunion with God forever. And here is the beauty of eternity with God, that in the presence of God, there is no more pain, there is no more heartache, there is no more sickness, no more disease, no more death, no more poverty, no more shame, no more hatred, no more racism, no more sin. In the presence of God, there will be life, eternal and everlasting. And so I encourage you with these words, that there is a hope for eternity and an urgency for today. There is hope for eternity. We are quickly moving towards eternity. Every day that we live brings us a day closer to eternity. We don't know when, but it will be sudden. In the twinkling of an eye, in a split second, when the trumpet of God will sound, then the dead in Christ will be raised to life, and the living followers of Jesus will be snatched up and taken from this world to eternity. There is an urgency for today. Time is short. You need to live today with the urgency of eternity. You need to live today preparing your soul for eternity. Will you give God your all? Will you live with no regrets in following Jesus? Will you stop making excuses as to why you can't fully follow Jesus? Will you hold nothing back from God? Will you live today with eternity in mind? Will you decide today that you can make a decision that will determine your eternity, your reunion with God forever? Maybe you've been watching and listening to our service today, and as I've been teaching, it may sound a little far-fetched, but at the same time, you know that there's a hope for eternity and an urgency for today. And so if you're watching and you don't know Jesus, you've never had a place and time in your life where you've recognized that Jesus is who he said he is, that the prophecies about him are actually true and came to pass, that you realize today that you need to have a relationship with the living God, that you need to have your sins forgiven. I want you to know today, right here, right now, you could have Jesus as your personal Savior. Right now, you can decide that the urgency for today is to get right with God so that you could spend eternity with him. And the Bible tells us how to do it in a real simple format. Believe that Jesus is who he said he was. Accept him into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sin, your wrongdoing. And more importantly, invite him to live every day of your life with you and live your life for him. If you could do that and you want to do that, we want to help you in your spiritual journey. And I ask you to take out your phone and text me. Text the word love to our number, 416-267-1189. Please follow the prompts and we will get back in touch with you, because we want to help you as you grow in your spiritual journey, as you have a hope for eternity with the urgency of today. Let's pray together, and let's pray for those today who are coming to know Jesus as their Savior. Father, we just thank you today for your encouragement of your word.